effort to hide their nakedness. Several actually flaunted their bodies, smiling at Ryan and touching their own breasts, allowing their wet fingers to wander down across their bellies.
Think you could strike it lucky here, lover, if you play your cards right.
Sure, sure.
The woman came closer, some of them so close that their wet bodies left damp patches on his clothes. Some had collected the nets, and others had picked up the willow baskets filled with silver-scaled fish.
Anyone speak good American?
Several hands went up, and he selected an older woman who'd had the grace to dress herself in her cotton shift.
There are slavers, men with whips, close by. You understand? We must all go back to the village very quickly.
Coco Mats. Coco Mats.
Quickly.
Most of them were ready to go, but some went around the riverbanks to retrieve clothes, creels, and nets. Ryan was just thinking that it had gone safely when the bushes across the river parted.
Fire blast.
The last thing he expected to see was the giant jaguar that he and Christy had seen earlier. It was a gigantic brute with a smooth black hide, its long tail moving slowly from side to side, as though it had a hungry life of its own. The creature's jaws were open, the needled fangs dripping saliva.
Should have brought the Steyr, lover.
I think the 6-hour will be enough blaster. Maybe we'll need to use it.
One of the young women, no more than 15, had been sleeping in the long grass at the edge of the jungle. Now the cries of the others had awakened her, and she sat up, rubbing her eyes, less than a dozen feet from the huge, muty carnivore. The young woman turned around and saw her doom, almost close enough to touch. Then her eyes rolled up white in their sockets, and she collapsed back in the grass in a total faint. The jaguar still hadn't moved toward its helpless prey, its tail moving faster, its eyes fixed on Ryan and Christy. There was the momentary hope that it might have fed recently, and might turn around and leave the riverbank. With infinite slowness, Ryan half-turned, so that his body concealed his right hand as it inched toward the butt of the holstered automatic, feeling the familiar chill of cold metal against his palm. The gun was clear of the leather, and the jaguar still hadn't made a threatening move toward the unconscious girl. But it lowered its rear quarters in the unmistakable pose of a cat readying itself to pounce. The range was at least 50 yards across the foaming river, the rushing water making it much harder to judge the range and angle of the target. Everything happened at once. Ryan leveled the 6-hour at the big cat. The jaguar began its spring at the helpless girl, its jaws gaping, claws extended, and the woman with the pink necklace threw herself at Ryan, hitting him just behind the knees, knocking him to the grass. The 9mm round sliced uselessly through the upper branches of a palm tree. Ryan was taken totally by surprise. He rolled onto his left side, lashing out with the barrel, catching the native a cracking blow across her forehead. She fell back, blood seeping from a deep cut over her left eye. Ryan pushed her away and came up into a crouch, knowing that he was going to be way too late. The jaguar had seized the young native woman between neck and shoulder. Christy fired her own weapon, but the Smith & Wesson had only a short 2-inch barrel, and the bullet went wide. The noise startled the beast, and it began to back away, sliding toward the forest's cover on its haunches, dragging the corpse of its victim effortlessly behind it, through the muddy, bloodied grass. Christy fired again, and at least one of her shots hit home. The jaguar snapped at its shoulder, where a tiny red rose bloomed in the soft black fur. For a moment, it dropped the corpse, then recovered itself and vanished into the undergrowth. Ryan was on his hands and knees, frozen for a moment, before replacing the 6-hour in its holster. He stood.
Fuck it. You got it.
Only winged it. Range and everything was all against me. Head on, it wasn't much of a target with the girl's body hanging in the way.
I know. You did well to wing it.
Why didn't you shoot?
No point. We could have saved her if it hadn't been for this bastard, Stoop. Get up! It's gone! The girl's dead!
In the struggle, the woman's necklace had broken, and the tiny shards of pink stone lay in the emerald grass. She opened her eyes.
Did you kill Jaguar?
No. Thanks to you, it got away.
I wounded it, but it got away and took the body with it. Probably already eating it. Ugh. Gaia, why did you do that?
Jaguar is God. Any man or woman picked by Jaguar is picked by gods. It is...
an honor?
Yes. Good word. Honor. Dies for honor. Could not let you shoot Jaguar. like shoot at God. Bad luck. Many days of life. Very bad luck.
It was bastard bad luck for that poor little girl.
One by one, the rest of the natives rose to their feet and stared out into the forest, then turned to gaze at Ryan, Christy, and their wounded friend, who had finally struggled to her feet and stood wobbling, looking defiantly at the two Anglos.
Any woman be happy to die with the Jaguar. You from outside do not understand this, do you?
No. Glad to say I don't.
Are you going after the animal? At least get the child's body back before it's eaten?
No. Jaguar eats spirit. All is good. Help in taking fish, just as Jack will. Rain bad. Go back now.
She turned and rejoined the other women, all of them walking toward the village, vanishing within yards as the spots of rain became a torrential downpour. In less than 30 seconds, Ryan and Christy were drenched to the skin, as wet as if they jumped straight into the middle of the river.
Gotta get to shelter.
Sure. Rain's hurting my head.
It was true. The raindrops were so large and so incessant that the beating on top of the skull was actually painful. Ryan and Christy took cover under a massive teak tree, pressing themselves against the trunk, keeping out of the worst of the direct rain. Christy put her arm around Ryan for comfort against the raging of the elements. It was as vicious a chem storm as they'd ever known. The lightning was so constant and blinding that Christy closed both her eyes, Ryan pressing the palm of his hand over his good eye. The air of the jungle seemed to be saturated with the bitter taste of ozone. Every now and again, the rain would ease for a moment, enabling the couple to see the alarming rise in the level of the river.
Gonna have to move.
To the village?
Unless the river bursts and we get a flash flood. Close to it now. If the rain eases again, we'll run for it.
The rain didn't ease again. If anything, it pounded down with renewed vigor. Ryan checked his wrist chron by the constant silver glow of the lightning, finding that the storm had been raging for only 25 minutes, time that seemed an eternity. Once the river went, it would be highly dangerous to remain where they were, but to have moved from cover earlier during such a cataclysmic tempest would have been suicidal.
Look!
The rain swirled around in an impenetrable blanket, but it parted for a moment, showing that the inevitable had happened. The river was no longer confined between the banks, and was spreading steadily across the clearing toward them. It seemed that the heart of the darkness had passed, and the lightning was no longer a constant.
Let's go!
Still holding onto Christie's hand, he led the way through the rain, moving quickly in a steep run, away from the flooding river, away from the village. A narrow hunting trail dog-legged up the side of the valley. It was more like a muddy river than a track, and climbing it was slippery and difficult. Orange water streamed down from higher up the hill, filling the deep ruts. Half the time, Christy and Ryan were on hands and knees, battling their way toward the top. Every twist and turn of the track seemed to take them farther from the village. Both Ryan and Christy had a highly developed sense of direction, but the winding, bending track and the overpowering presence of the storm were so distracting that within less than an hour, they found themselves lost.
We're not really lost. I'm fairly sure that I know which way the village is. It's just that I'm not at all sure that I know how to get back there.
I think it's in that direction.
Yeah, that's about what I figure also. There's been no side trail off to the left at all. We still seem to be climbing higher and higher.
I reckon we're moving away.
Best we stop until this stops. Then we should maybe backtrack. Hope the river's gone down. Get across and then straight home again.
What if the river stays high?
Then we go upstream until we find a place we can get across.
The thing I love about you, Ryan Carter, is your permanent optimism.
The thing I love about you, Christy Roth, is the way you pretend to believe my permanent optimism. It really helps.
The storm finally moved on, the sheeting rain sinking to a wearisome drizzle. Ryan wiped moisture from the face of his tiny wrist cron.
Been hours. Be lucky to get back tonight.
Think they'll send out a search for us?
I doubt it. Not yet. JB will have seen the storm and heard about it from the women. He'll guess that we probably got ourselves caught up in it, at the shelter. Evening's coming on. They won't worry until around the middle of tomorrow.
Could have used a quiet night in bed. Still, at least we can probably find somewhere dry to hole up. Climb a tree, lover? I don't fancy staying on the floor with all the wildlife around here.
Ryan's best guess.